community members like...
Good evening. It is Tuesday, October 8, 2024, 6 p.m. I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Vice Mayor Powell will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Rollins.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Austin.
Here.
Donnerfeld.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Hubbard.
Here. Thank you. Ceremonial matters, there are none. Item three, persons to be heard. See if we have anyone out there in the audience. Okay, no persons to be heard. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendments? Okay. Item five, conflict of interest. Any conflict on any item on the agenda? Hearing none, we will go to item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymembers Morrison.
Yes.
Austin.
Yes.
Donnerfeld.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor Hubbard.
Yes, thank you. Item seven, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to go defer to our new Finance Director, Jackson Poole, to give his report in person real quick, and then I'll get to mine.
Great.
Thanks,
and again, welcome to Wrangell.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good to see everybody. All right, so I'm going to keep pretty short for you guys today. First, I'll start by working on the fiscal year 2024 audit. That is going really well so far. We've engaged with BDO. They will be in town November 7th through the 11th.
Okay.
That gives us plenty of time to get everything right, but it's going really smoothly so far, and we're going to do everything we can to get zero audit findings this year, so that's the goal. Mason and I have been looking at implementing a sweep account on our Wells Fargo checking. So this is basically an automatic nightly transfer into a money market account that gets between 4% and 5.5%. There's various accounts that you can go into. With the current rate environment, we'd be looking at about 4.7, I believe, in the account we were looking at, and this sweep account would give us about an extra $70,000 in funds per year for essentially doing nothing. So our checking would be working for us a lot better than it is now. The Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission Salmon Disaster Grant, that's kind of a mouthful, that's on the agenda, Resolution 10-24-1881. This grant of $95,127 through PSMFC is for a salmon disaster funds from the 2020-21 season, and it's reimbursing communities that were affected throughout Southeast Alaska. Rob and I have been working pretty closely with Blackpoint IT Services to strengthen our cybersecurity. And we're also going to try to enhance our employee training with a goal of 100% engagement. We have a really great system right now. We just want to make it better. I think cybersecurity is kind of at the forefront, and a lot of bad things can happen to a small community, and we just want to make it as strong as possible. And Blackpoint's been really great to work with, and props to Rob. He's a good IT guy. So. And that training will be going out in spring. So, and lastly, I'd like to just comment on the finance team. In my first about month here, it's been a pleasure working with Rob, Sherry, Aaron, and Daniel. Everybody's been really dependable, thorough, great people to work with. So I couldn't be happier to be in this position, and I look forward to get through the audit, doing the budget, and making things happen. So. Thank you, guys. Any questions?
Any questions? I have just one.
Yeah.
The salmon disaster grant, what fund will that money go into?
Port and Harbor Fund.
Yeah, Port P&H. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
We'll see if Jackson,
Assemblymember DeBoard.
Not a question, just a comment. Thank you for working on this sweep account with the $70,000. It sounds very similar to what Mason did when he first came here and found us a bunch of extra, what, $600,000-$700,000 a year in interest. So every little bit helps with our budget, and people will ask sometimes and question, why do we have these positions? Well, because it's around $70,000 in the very beginning here. So just thank you for your due diligence on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Find more.
Thank you. Yeah, our cash and investments, we've been working with 3+1 on that, and we got a really good score from them, so our money's getting put to work very effectively. So.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, so we'll continue doing that.
Jackson, along the same line with our investments with our brokers, sometimes they have a category that called cash. Mm-hmm. Have you ever observed or had the opportunity to observe if there's a large amount of cash in there that they leave there for a month? I know that sometimes that happens with my brokerage account, and I want it invested. Have you noticed that, or?
I haven't had a great chance to thoroughly look at it, just with the audit kind of starting right away. But as far as I know, especially with APCM, they're very active in making sure the funds are put to use. So
good. Yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks, Jackson. We'll see if he's as happy as he is now after the audit. a little bit of commentary, just a note on that, Madam Mayor, that typically if there is any cash reserves, they'll be put in a money market account, which is currently yielding anywhere from 4.4% up to 5%, so
good.
That's typically where they'll house it unless they want to park it into longer-term treasuries, and that's just a note on that. And Jackson has been very proactive on the sweep account concept, and that's an effective strategy, especially now that we are parking so much money in our checking routinely for these big payments for the water treatment plant, so that's why we're able to generate a little extra cash for a sweep account. So great timing, and appreciate all the work he's doing with the finance department.
And Assemblymember Morrison?
Yes, to the whatever he is.
Manager,
thank you. I'm old. Anyhow, no, I forgot what his name is. How liquid is whatever this sweep account is going into to getting it back out of?
Overnight.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Overnight
okay.
Sweeps, yep. So you'll have it the next morning.
So you can sweep it back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manager.
Typically we can't withdraw it at 11 p.m. at night anyway, so harm, no foul.
Right.
Great. Well, really appreciate being back at the table with every one of you. It's kind of like Groundhog's Day. We got the same assembly, and here we go again, huh? So I want to thank you guys for your continued service to the community. I thought the election was a good representation that, hey, maybe we're headed the right way. It seems like a lot of good confidence from the community in what we have here, and especially with regards to Proposition Number 2. If we look at the last election when we broached the public safety building, $8.5 million issuance, a little bit different story. It was about 40-60, and this one was about 75-25 on Proposition Number 2. So that's great, and I'll get to that a little bit later. I also wanted to talk about a bunch of the events that we have upcoming and have passed since drafting this manager's report, but Chief Gene Meek did a current drugs trends presentation at the library that I heard was really, really successful, and he's going to continue community engagement activities, which has been really awesome, and I know that he's planning on getting involved in the schools, and there'll also be a hostile intruder drill, rather training for the school teachers, as well as some borough staff that'll take place up at the school on October 14th, so appreciate all the good work that Gene's doing and getting out there in the community. The Nolan Center Community Market's ongoing on the weekends here. We had one this last weekend, so thanks to Jeannie for continuing that. Our auditors, as Jackson said, will be here on Veterans Day, November 11th, so that's about a little less than 5 weeks from now, and we'll get to work. We've got good prep work going on right now and plan to meet all our obligations there. We have the 20th anniversary of the James and Elsie Nolan Center to take place at 6 p.m. at the Nolan Center on October 14th. That's Monday. And I know that Patty and I will be there, and it's very, very special to celebrate the Nolan family and their contributions to our community, so we'll be celebrating them. We have a work session, and this is something to change in the manager's report that I'll publish, but we have a tentative work session scheduled with GreenSpark. They're a data center company looking to do business here in Wrangell, and Sam Anoka, their CEO and president, is going to come up here for a site visit and look at some potential sites for a possible data center, the old hospital being one of them. And we plan on doing a work session with him so he can teach you guys a bit about data centers and present on what his company does and how it could be a good fit here in Wrangell. So we've been working with Sam and his team for the last few weeks, and I think it's going to be a more common theme over the next few years, especially in rural communities with cheap power and green renewable power like hydro. So we obviously have our next meeting on October 22nd, and then we have our joint work session with the Borough Assembly and School Board on November the 19th. Is that correct?
Yep.
So we'll be planning on that. That's a
Tuesday.
Yep. And so we'll plan on meeting with the school board, and I know that the mayor and I are going to plan on drafting kind of a tentative agenda, and we'll meet with Superintendent Burr and President Dave Wilson. I believe he's reelected as president on the school board, and make it a really productive work session. I think in the past we've kind of just met and talked, and there's never been any really great presentations, I think, on either side. And I think this is an opportunity for us to say, hey, okay, like, we're going to present the SRS fund. Here's what we have. We're going to present all the project spending we've done this year. Here's the ideas we've talked about. We've talked about insurance consolidation. We've talked about transportation. We've talked about energy initiatives, whatever it is. And I think it'll be a good opportunity to really find some solutions, because our district's not alone in the battle of trying to maintain a budget that's balanced. And you look at Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, all of Southeast Alaska, it's a struggle. So we want to do better than some of these other communities. So keep your eyes out for that. Southeast Conference learnings. Learned a lot down at Southeast Conference, the good, bad, and the ugly. I know the mayor's probably got some insights she'll share a little bit later, but particularly around the data center concept, again, we met with GreenSpark down there. They're interested in all the Southeast communities that have hydropower because we're cheap and we have excess capacity. So, I think we're going to continue to look at what that does to our current loads in town, especially during peak load time. And if our infrastructure can support the growth that a data center would demand. And so excited to see that through. Again, October 21st, we're looking at having a work session. We met with the barge line companies, so Alaska Marine Lines and Sampson Tug and Barge, and I think that's probably the first time we've ever been in the same room with all of us together, which is really great. And I think we all have the collective vision to model out some scenarios at the mill property, and everybody's on board, so we're going to be going through several different iterations of models of ramps and bulkheads and who's where and what, and kind of be going back and forth and also offer up some of the incentives that the borough would be willing to provide to subsidize the transition out there. So everybody's focus is out of the 6 mile deep water port, and so we can free up the waterfront down here. So good conversations with them, and I appreciate Dan Kelly and Corey Bagan for those conversations. We also met with Mental Health Trust a couple of different times to talk about the potential for long-term leases of key properties here in Wrangell, as well as other joint ventures we can take on with them, creating subdivisions and some of their parcels, partnering with SEPA on the solar power project that's right next to the substation. So lots of key properties that we can put to use and maybe even get on the tax rolls. So we'll be working with them. They plan to do a site visit late this month or in November, so it'd be great to get Mental Health Trust here in town. Met with Department of Transportation briefly. South Coast Director Chris Goins was there. Commissioner Anderson also spoke at the conference. But we talked mainly about the airport runway, not the airport runway, we've talked about that enough. The east side of the runway there, carving out more space for hangars. We have limited hangar space, so not a whole lot of expansion and economic development opportunities there at the airport. So we've talked about blasting the east side of the runway and extracting all that rock and then having some more hangar space. So the question then becomes, though, do we fall under the notion of the FAA revenue diversion policy, which is something I wasn't super familiar with, but we had talked about, because the state DOT doesn't have very much money, to have a contractor come in and actually just give them the rock for the work instead of actually paying them to do the work, because that rock at the airport is super valuable, high-grade material. But if we do something like that, we could fall susceptible to the FAA revenue diversion policy, which isn't allowed. So we're going to research that with Sharon Thompson, who's the DOT leasing, aviation leasing coordinator, and we'll report back, but some good intel. We also met with Central Air Service folks from US DOT. Mayor Gilbert was in that conversation along with Kate Thomas and some other folks from our team. We got the brilliant idea that we might reach out to some of our other surrounding neighbor communities and try to move the milk run on the southbound flight earlier so we can all make our connections out of Seattle when we're on flight 64. I always remember that 65 odds go north. So it's at 64, and you know, if you got into Seattle at 5 o'clock or something like that, that'd be kind of nice not to have to stay in a hotel, and the burden of travel and costs would be less to a lesser degree. And if you think about it, flight 65 from Seattle leaves, you know, 7:30, 8:30 in that time frame, depending on the season. Well, Anchorage, it leaves at like 10:30 or 11. And so why not try to advocate for flipping that around a little bit? So creative solution, but they don't anticipate from a Central Air Services perspective cutting any funding for Wrangell. We're still about $4.6 million in subsidy. How Alaska Airlines uses that, I don't really understand because it's still very expensive, but they're a good partner for us, and we appreciate the continued good service out there. Other, you know, takeaways, we talked a lot about solid waste transfer and disposal within the region. I think there'll be some opportunities to capitalize on that. There's been a proposal submitted by a company out of Washington that we're looking at with the mill property, so more on that later, but solid waste was a big issue. We talked about Brown's Field Grant funding for the mill property, since we know that there's some pollution out there, and taking advantage of that program. That application is on November 15th, the due date for it. And we talked a lot about timber operations, and you know, Southeast is untapped lately for the Tongass and the timber. So how we can take advantage of that and in the form of specialty wood product development is important. Moving on to vehicle replacements, as part of our strategic plan that we'll be unveiling here in the coming months, a vehicle replacement plan is going to be part of that. And so some of the critical replacements were up at the PD. We have a 2015 and a 2021 Explorer coming in, both used vehicles out of Chicago from a company called Asia Motors, which Gene Meek, our chief of police, have turned us on to. This is a company that outfits used police rigs that have the cages, the sirens, the radios, everything already implemented and at a really reduced cost. So we picked both those up under 50,000 miles. They're $35,000. They'll be here at the end of the month. And then we will transfer, because we don't get rid of anything here at the borough, the 2007 Ford Explorer, which was formerly Chief Radke's vehicle. You saw him drive around in a lot. To the capital facilities, capital projects rather, and then the 2008 Ford F-350 will be transferred over to Public Works because they need another truck. So trying to work with what we got and not purchase any new rigs and be fiscally responsible. So we'll be continuing to look out for Forest Service disposals. We've made good on some of those auctions in the past and make sure the Bay Company doesn't get any more of those and we get all of them. So of course, I'm just playing the vice mayor a little bit. Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting. We had a really great LEPC meeting with a lot of different stakeholders at the table on September the 18th. We had the Wrangell Public School District. We had the Wrangell Rangel District, KSDK, Clinkett, Haida, Surge, AKA DOT, and the St. Francis Animal Shelter. Talked a lot about the EOP and the development thereof. We talked about mutual aid agreements, specifically a mutual aid agreement with the Forest Service. The DOT here at the state needs a medical and water rescue letter of agreement in advance of their tabletop in March, so that was good to know. Yeah. We'll be working on those. We also have first aid and CPR AED training schedules going to be unleashed for borough employees, and then we're going to share that with some of our other partners. So I've tasked our fire chief to share that with me, and we'll make sure that we're shooting for 100% of our borough employees to be trained up on first aid and CPR. So a lot of us are in public-facing roles, and you never know when something.
And APEI offers grants if we do that.
They do. They offer grants and insurance premium discounts to some degree. We also have KSDK radio training slated. So there's, you know, if Cindy Sweat's not in town and there's an emergency, there's a backup process that she wants to be able to relay to other folks that could potentially fill in while she's not there. So some redundancy. That was a good outcome of the meeting. We're all going to tackle as agencies community engagement opportunities. So I think each agency is going to pick a special topic to present to the community in the form of a town hall or an organized event of some sort, just to educate the community on different preparedness and mitigation tactics across the board. And I think that would be a good contribution of the LEPC. And then the overall purpose of an LEPC as federally mandated is that we have hazmat plans and have oversight of those plans. So facilities that are using hazardous materials and storing them and utilizing them in their daily operations, those entities that we know of are Trident, Sea Level, Petro, Arrowhead, Wrangell Public Schools, us at the Borough, and Alaska Air. So we'll be working to make sure that they have hazmat plans in place and that we have a plan for oversight. And we haven't had an LEPC since 2018, so I think we're going to be starting from the ground up. We also talked about NCSL criteria needing to be established. I think sometimes, you know, Kim and I wonder, should we do a NCSL in this circumstance, even though it's kind of a really, it might affect just a few people, or it's really a low kind of standard. So we want to kind of set like a red, green, yellow kind of category and see if we can't kind of have some criteria, so we're not always wondering, gosh, should we do it under this case? We don't want to cause panic, but we also want to let people know. And then we're going to also pursue NIMS and incident command training and PIO training opportunities for all of our directors, not PIO training, for all of our directors, just Kim, she's probably going to talk about that, but NIMS and incident command for all of our directors. I think that was another learning from Southeast Conference that some put together municipalities are doing is having that training. So we'll be doing that. Jackson talked about the FY24 audit update, but this manager's report will be adjusted to reflect November 11th is the day they will be here. We will unleash the schedule so that members of the assembly can talk with the main engagement partner and express any concerns or want to understand our financial statements better or how we can alleviate some audit findings. So that'll be an opportunity for the mayor and any other assembly member to communicate with them if you want to learn more or understand the financials better. We are working currently on a senior center MOA right now. I've been working with Aaron Walker from the Catholic Community Services that operates our senior center here just down the road. We're going to look at divesting ourselves of the senior center facility and actually parking it up at the community center in the multi-purpose room. We're looking at upgrading the kitchen, putting some nice lazy boys and a TV, nice puzzle table, better space for them. There's more space. It's an opportunity to then take advantage of grant funding because now you have seniors in a facility that also is acting as a proxy for childcare too, because you have kids after school activities up there. So you have a facility that's eligible now for grant funding, and I think it's a pretty good opportunity. So we'll be looking at divesting ourselves from the senior center as it currently is, and we'll be looking at an MOA that we'll bring before you this winter. We have several positions for hire. Electrical utility superintendent, the maintenance specialist 1, 2, or 3 will take any, and the harbor maintenance security position. So those three positions are still posted on our website. The electrical utility superintendent, we have a candidate coming up to Wrangell here on the 16th and 17th to visit the town with his wife. He's originally from Whittier, Alaska, and has been down in Kalispell recently. So he's got a lot of experience as a superintendent, and we really enjoyed his interview, so we're looking forward to showing off our town and our light and power infrastructure and get his opinion on things. So sewer outfall update, not a whole lot of news there. We're still working through the insurance process with the damaged vessel owner and the insurer. We're also working with our regulatory partners so they can establish required criteria for us as we look to replace this. It's much like if you damage your car and you have comprehensive liability, you send it in to an auto shop that your insurer approves, and they do all the work, right? So that's kind of what we're shooting for once they admit to the damages and owning those. We will move forward with them taking on some of the work. So it doesn't look like to be a huge, huge project in the terms of what it could have been if we had to do a full-on replacement of the outfall. It looks like we're going to be able to cut sections of it and put it back in as it currently stands. So just a little update on the sewer outfall. I wanted to talk a bit about Proposition Number 2, which of course is our general obligation bond issuance for the public safety building. That was successful. That's a $3 million GO bond, and you know, there's several different ways to issue a GO bond. We can go through the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, which we did for our school general obligation bond debt. But also we can go through different federal and state agencies like USDA. And USDA has the Community Facilities Loan and Grant Program, and it's a low interest loan for rehab or construction of new facilities that are really, there's not a lot of grant funding opportunities for. But low interest loan opportunity there, so we'll issue through them. The PAR, the preliminary architectural report that you guys have heard a lot about of, is near completion, and we'll be sending that in as part of our application to USDA. There's going to be a period that application is analyzed. It's a pretty beefy application. And you know, that's going to be several months down the road. Once we hopefully are approved under that application, we'll go to issuance of that $3 million. In the meanwhile, we have the Senator Murkowski money sitting in Congress under a short-term CR or a continuing resolution, which means that we're pushing pause till December on all appropriations, and then they'll reevaluate. Could change with a new administration. Our appropriations could all go through, or they could all go away. We don't really know. So we'll just have to wait and see on that money. Regardless, we're going to move forward with the project, whether it's $3 million or $5.5 million. We're going to get as much work done as we can with the money that we have. And once our application's done, we'll solicit for architectural and engineering services in the springtime. That'll probably take us into the fall by the time it's designed. The design will be received, and then we'll put out for a bid for construction in the fall, winter time frame, and then we're in the 2026 construction season. So I say that because a lot of folks, you know, think that just because we got a $3 million general obligation bond that we're going to see a new public safety building like in the next 3 months kind of thing. But there's certain barriers we have to get over that we can't move any faster because our federal funding partners are inherently complex. So a note on that, several projects ongoing. I'm going to not talk a lot about a lot of them, but Amber will present those on October 22nd. You have Mount Dewey Trail near completion. Looks really great. I actually ran it a couple nights ago. 5th and 6th Avenue project. You can see the road's getting further and further. Kind of been a slow mover, but it's happening. It's great. Kay Thomas, our economic development director, got the appraisals back, so we'll be unleashing those in the form of a resolution and then also a process for sale on the October 22nd meeting. And we'll publicly notice all that stuff so people have an idea, and we'll advertise for the sale so people know the prices for those lots, and those parties that are interested can take part in the public surplus, public auction. We also have the solid waste transfer station project. If you guys haven't been out to the dump recently, a lot of work going on out there. It looks really great so far. So $250,000 of that was a grant we received from the Denali Commission. So pretty great to see that thing moving along. Be a safer operation out at the landfill site. And the water treatment plant continues to operate within our budget and on time. And if you haven't been up there, we'll make sure we get some pictures out on the October 22nd meeting. It looks pretty fascinated by how quickly things are moving. It's a huge structure, and all the DAF trains are in there, and it's really kind of starting to take shape. So that's exciting. We're close. We're close to better drinking water and more amply processed water as well. Community assistance payment for the year came in actually higher than anticipated, $399,000 as opposed to $365,000 budgeted. That's a $34,000 swing in the black. Our jail contract, however, did not. It came in about $200,000 short, and that's very significant for the general fund. So, you know, we're about $160,000 short in the general fund projections right now. Jail contract's not something we could have predicted. They changed the criteria for allocation based on how much we use our jail and how many inmates we have in our jail at a time, and our utilization was incredibly low compared to some of the more populated communities. And so that's the difference between the $567,000 and the $366,000 we're getting this year. You know, it begs the question, what do we do in the future if this is going to be a continued trend? There are certain options that we're going to explore, regional dispatch and regional jails, as maybe a long-term solution, and we're going to analyze a cost-benefit on what that looks like. So I know that SICA operates a regional dispatch center. That's something that a lot of municipalities outsource to them at a cost, but maybe it's a reduced cost. So those are going to be options we're going to be exploring, and just wanted to bring those to light. So that is all I have at this juncture. Do you guys have any questions at all?
Questions, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Of course. Thanks, Mason. I want to give a shout out to Jeannie Arnold for her report on the Nolan Center.
Yeah.
And some data that was really interesting and useful to me about the fees that are collected and the use levels and stuff. And I guess I think it would be very useful to us, especially to me, that we would see similar analysis through the departments.
Sure.
Because we've been raising fees significantly over the last 2 years, I'd say. And I've always wondered whether we were in the right spot, the sweet spot for that. And it looks like the Nolan Center hit it pretty good. And we're going to be talking about the harbor fees, which I would make the case are hit way more people directly in Wrangell, and they're way more complicated because there's so many parts to them. And also just the overall visitor numbers that came in, and you know, I don't know if we can tease out the value that those folks brought in on sales taxes and that kind of stuff. But I would hope that if we could get some kind of a summary, I guess, of the quote tourist season or the summer season.
Certainly.
That through the departments. And I think that would be useful to me just to see how we're doing and if there's change and needed for change.
I appreciate your comments, Assemblymember Dalrymple. Another thing that we have going on is on October 16th, there'll be an end of season stakeholders meeting for the tourism industry, and that'll be a great opportunity to comment on a little bit more of the tourism season. We have, you know, our 2025 schedule that'll be going over that night. We also have a preliminary 2026 schedule that we're not ready to unveil quite yet, but we're still working with cruise line agencies of Alaska to develop that. We are going to see a higher passenger count in 2025. It's going to be in the 40,000s passengers, and in 2026, our sweet spot's between 60,000 and 70,000. So that's a significant amount compared to this year. But when you put it into perspective that Sitka's running through 600,000 people in their community, that's not too much, and that's one of those short-term levers that we can kind of pull to increase our economic activity. And as I will talk about later tonight during the sales tax free item, our sales tax came in a little bit short of what we were hoping for, but still above budget. And so that suggests that underlying activity was lesser this year, maybe because there was less cruise ship passenger traffic or spending. And then certainly local consumer spending has tightened due to the inflationary environment. Sales tax, we like to think, is inflationary proof, because the prices of goods go up and so does your sales tax. So you don't have to raise the sales tax rate necessarily. But there are concerns of consumer spending slowing, and the volume of transactions actually happening is less. And I think we're seeing that all over the country and on the national stage. So something to be recognized.
Assembly Member Morrison.
Just a quick one. On the senior center, what are you planning on doing for parking and access?
Great question. So up at the high school, we're going to reserve certain segments for the senior center van, so they would have an opportunity to shuttle people in and out, and they have that ADA walkway all the way to the facility. We're going to continue to pursue the Presbyterian Church as an option. We haven't done much on that lately, but we'll pick that back up as we pursue these conversations. So, yeah, because parking is certainly a concern for the school, for the senior center, for Parks and Rec.
Assembly Member DeBoard.
You're talking about AED training. Do we have AEDs in all of our buildings, municipal buildings?
We do. We do. We have them in City Hall, Lone Center, Library, Parks and Rec. So we have them in all our front-facing facilities. I can't say that we have them in every single facility, but that's something to shoot for over time. So all our public-facing facilities, we certainly do, though.
Okay. And you were going to look into the life facts mechanisms, especially for the library and Nolan Center.
Yeah, LifeVac, and we're kind of coordinating that with search because that's kind of out of my area of expertise. So
yeah.
We might get our OT, favorite OT, on that task too. So
good.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Borough Clerk's report, please.
Not a lot. It'll be 2 minutes. I will be leaving town tomorrow for family vacation type thing. I'll be back on the 19th. I do want to comment on the election. We did have a greater turnout than last year. Last year was 11%. This year was 28%. So I do think came out and voted. I'm hopeful for next year. We have a lot of people registered to vote with the upcoming general election. So I'm really curious to see how many registered voters we have come next year. You'll probably know before I do, Assemblymember Robbins. As Manager Valarma talked about, the training for disaster preparedness, I am taking advantage of an opportunity that the state is putting on for free for PIO training at the beginning of November in Anchorage. And it's Jeremy Reddick. He's the one who helped us with our last disaster. So So he's very well versed in PIO, and I'm really excited to be able to learn from him and other people that are going to be there. Early voting for the general election will be happening here in the Assembly Chambers with Sarah Merritt starting Monday, October 21st, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. all the way to November 4th at 4 p.m. And then, of course, the Nolan Center for Election Day from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. All day long. So, yeah. And if anybody needs to request an absentee ballot to be mailed to them, they can. You can apply online. Or you can come into City Hall. I can explain to my deputy there where the applications are. If I'm not here, people have until the 26th to request an absentee ballot to be mailed to them. And so it's a pretty easy process. It's just a one-page application, and then we sign it and put our title and just fax it or email it in to the Division of Elections. It's super easy. So, and other than that, I don't have any.
Great. And for the public, the NCSL registration mechanism is embedded in your report.
Yes.
And then we do have, the borough does have property that is not occupied, owned by the borough, and we would like to sell it. So there, we have a map mechanism on our webpage that citizens can look at and put in a application to purchase property.
Yep, and if somebody wants to come in and call, email, or whatnot, the our economic development director, she can sit down with them and kind of explain the different areas that we do have, and if they have questions about specific areas, she can pull it up and you know, kind of walk them through, and I can also help with that, the process for the application. And that's online. That's called the online parcel mapping. And it's very useful. It's a very useful tool.
Yeah. All right. Any questions? Thank you. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. This is where the Assembly, if you have ideas or suggestions for future agenda item, you can get consensus from the Assembly, the body, and we can put them for discussion on a future meeting. Okay, Assembly Member Morrison.
I have one, and I talked to Mason about it briefly, but in order for us to qualify for federal highway funds repairing Case Avenue, it seems to me, I mean, you can give me your feedback, it would be easier to make Case Avenue a one-way street going south and turning the street behind the high school as a one-way going the other way, which would allow for angle parking up by the high school, which would alleviate some of the congestion up there with the parking, and leaving the main highway or the main street up above as a two-way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a suggestion, because then I think, according to Mason, we might be able to get grant money to fix Case Avenue.
Right, and we have talked about that,
mm-hmm.
and one of the drawbacks, and to me it's not a drawback because I have a fix for it, one of the drawbacks was emergency response. They need to be able to go both ways.
Well,
so why couldn't you have a one-way street with the caveat, big sign that says yield
right.
to emergency vehicles? And
mm-hmm.
I think it's worth discussing. And one of our goals this year, Assembly, is repair of roads and sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very timely in bringing that up. So let's put that on our tickler list of things to discuss in the future. Anything else?
Just kind of on that line, I brought that up a few years ago, and the big issue too is we're never going to be able to replace that internally and all the infrastructure that's underneath it as well.
Right.
So I would like to kind of second supporting moving that forward.
And I can see up at the high school too along that street if you'd be allowed angle parking Mm-hmm. We could get a lot more parking up there.
Yeah.
And then a second and separate thing is I'd like to look at like a handicap accessible boat lift, kind of similar to like what is at the pool to help people in and out of the pool.
Okay.
It really hit me when my father was here this summer and how he struggled to get in and out, and our aging population here, and if he could get in the boat, he'd be fine moving around. So I know they make them. I'm assuming there's got to be some type of grant funding out there. And if we could just have one centralized within the community, then, you know, you could meet somebody at Heritage Harbor or whatever, and make it access easier for those with disabilities.
Okay. All right. So every meeting, if you have a suggestion, bring it here. I think we have consensus. Those are two good future agenda items. All right. And we can direct the borough manager that way. Also, you have in front of you my proposal, and a few of you have added to it, of our goals for this term. And we will have a workshop on this so we can find out what is feasible and what we can do. We already have many projects in the queue, and adding on the public safety building is another big project. So I think we really fulfilled our goal of infrastructure improvements. We're working on economic development opportunities. Those are flooding in, so that's good. So we need to think of what we're going to stress in the future for this next year. Is that okay with everyone? So we'll have a workshop, not on the next October 22nd, but probably sometime, maybe even the November meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order on business? Assemblymember Morrison.
I'm sorry. Monday night for the Friends of the, or for the museum celebration, it is a potluck. So bring something sweet or savory, and there will be libations.
All right.
And also some really good speakers. Should be an archaeologist and a gentleman that's been here with a very sophisticated sonar on the Star Bengal. And I think Gig is going to speak, and I think they've got some other speakers lined up too.
So. Great. And that's from 6 to 8,
mm-hmm.
Monday, October 14th.
Right. And everyone's welcome.
At the NOLA.
Yep.
All right. And then also at Southeast Conference, the manager went over everything, but they also spent a lot of time discussing Alaska Marine Highway System, and they are actively supporting all efforts for ferry service improvement and destination to Prince Rupert.
Yes.
Okay. All right, anything else? All right, item 10, appointment of our vice mayor. Currently, we have Vice Mayor Dave Powell. And do I have a motion for vice mayor?
Move to appoint David Powell for vice mayor until October 2025.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Otteson, second by Morrison. Any discussion? He's held up pretty well, wouldn't you say? All right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I have perfect attendance. I should get a couple stars for that.
Yeah,
we need to promote that. All right. All in. Oh, roll. Poll vote, please.
Otteson?
Yes.
Dammerville?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Yes. Item 10B, annual board and committee appointments. With the approval of the assembly, we have two available spots on Planning and Zoning Commission. I would like to appoint Jillian Privett and Kathleen St. Clair. On Parks and Rec Advisory Board, we have two available positions. With the assembly approval, I will appoint Joan Sargent and Tracy Martin. With the Wrangell Convention Visitors Bureau, we have one available position. With the assembly approval, I appoint Grace Wintermeyer. On the Economic Development Board, we have one available position, and I appoint Brian Ashton. And that meets with the approval of the Assembly. All right, thank you. Item 11A, public hearing. Resolution number 10-24-1879 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the combined fee and rate schedule for the Public Works Department, sewer, and the harbor and port facilities, launch fees. And Assembly, this is on page 30. I need a motion. I'm going to ask for an administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So Resolution 1024-1879 amends the Port and Harbor fee sub-schedule on the borough-wide fee and rate schedule, as well as the sewer rate schedule underneath Public Works. And I'm going to kind of highlight the key changes. It looks like a lot because it made some language changes, but is really, in effect, not a whole lot. On September 5th, the Port Commission had met to discuss the launch permit fees. These are something that have been talked about pretty routinely for the last few months. And analyzing neighboring communities, we've understood that our boat launch rates are, not non-competitive. I mean, we've got a really low rate compared to all the other communities. And you have a boat launch rate sheet in front of you that's attached to this item. We were hoping to put that in the agenda, didn't quite make it in there. Wrangell's daily launch fee is $12. Annual with a stall is $28. Annual without a stall is $55. You look at Ketchikan, annual recreational is near $70 there. Commercial is $534. Sitka's annual is $75. Juneau's annual is $111. Craig's low, annual $35. Kodiak, $132 for annual. And Haynes has a kind of a tiered structure there. So. This is what the Port Commission came up with, and it's increasing the annual permit, launch permit fee with a stall from $28 to $35. Annual launch permit fees without a stall would be from $55 up to $70 per year. And the commercial launch permit fee will categorically be broken into a different tiered structure. So it was formerly a commercial permit of $150 a year. This rate schedule would eliminate that and establish a new rate category for multiple trailer owners. You would pay the first installment, the first permit fee would be the cost of an annual launch permit, and then the next two would be for $5 each, which is essentially just to cover the sticker that you're putting on your trailer. And then it will reset at trailer number four and keep that pattern in perpetuity. So if you have many trailers and many boats, that's a possible solution for savings down the road, because we've heard that, and I know the Port Commission's reviewed that. So that's the change on the Port and Harbor fee and rate schedule. If we turn our attention to wastewater, this is a change particularly related to seafood processors, and it's kind of spurred from discussions with our partners at Trident and Sea Level. When we proposed the sewer rates, we kind of had an invalid assumption, which is that all the wastewater that they're using is being processed by us, which we know not to be true. Much of the wastewater that they have is actually going right out through their outfall as it relates to the plants. And so if you look on the rate schedule, what we've done is we've changed the wastewater fee for processing plants to be 20% of their metered water bill. That's a more realistic expectation of what it costs to actually treat their wastewater. And the volume that they're actually requiring us to treat. This will also segregate the bunkhouses from the seafood processing plants, so they will still continue to pay 100% of their metered water bill as their wastewater bill as well. So, and that makes sense because we have to process 100% of that water that's going into our sewer system. And then just a little bit of cleanup down below, canneries, shellfish, fish processing, rinsing and packaging only, saltwater processing only. The rate says special. I don't know where that came from, probably from way back in the day. I don't know what the special rate is. So we're just going to clean that up and get rid of it at this point. And so just kind of further clarification down below. And you'll notice that just above the highlighted down in Class B seafood processing plants not metered on water, there's only one that I know of that doesn't require wastewater treatment to a high degree, and so that would just be a standard equivalent of a residential rate. But happy to comment on anything on the rate schedule. One other consideration that I think is really important is if you look at resolution 1024-1879 down below in the now Air Force section, you'll notice a restriction on funds for the launch facility, launch permit fees. So any dollar we take or collect from launch permit fees will now be restricted for the purpose of recapitalizing launches, constructing new launches, maintenance of launches, and that alone explicitly. So I think that's a good selling point. And as that account balance builds up and we recapitalize these facilities or pursue new construction, and we may have extra if we're not pursuing those things, that'll give us justification to either decrease the rate or reevaluate it. So I think that's an important part of all this to consider, and I think we're going to start doing that with respect to some of these standalone rates, much like the cranes that we've charged for a credit card. We might pursue something like that. I'd probably task the Port Commission to look at items like that, and we'll restrict it as portion of the fund balance. So you'll actually see, Port and Harbor unrestricted fund balance, $3 million or something like that, and then down below it'll say restricted for a purpose of launch recapitalization for like $20,000 or something like that. And